today a 40-day journey toward Easter. We assume a discipline of self-examination, confession, and penitence. We seek to be more faithful disciples of Christ, whose lives are shaped by the one whom we confess to be the Lord and Savior of the world. To this end, let us worship God. Please remain standing for the invocation.
I'm sorry.
And we're going to sing hymn 108, Lord, who throughout these 40 days, or what did I say, 108, 180. Dyslexia strikes again.
Thank you, Judy. It's good to see everyone here today. Thank you for coming. Join me now in our invocation. Almighty and everlasting God, you hate nothing that you have made and forgive the sins of all who are penitent. Create and make in us new and contrite hearts, that lamenting our sins and acknowledging our limitations, we may receive from you, the God of all mercy, perfect forgiveness and peace, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Our first scripture reading is found on page 930 and 931 in your pew Bible. It's found in Joel chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 and 12 through 17. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sound the alarm on my holy hill. Let all who live in the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is close at hand, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and blackness, like dawn spreading across the mountains, a large and mighty army comes, such as never was of old, nor ever will be in ages to come. Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. And he relents from sending calamity. Who knows? He may turn and have pity and leave behind a blessing, grain offerings and drink offerings for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, declare a holy fast, call a sacred assembly. Gather the people, consecrate the assembly, bring together the elders. Gather the children, those nursing at the breast. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her chamber. Let the priests who minister before the Lord weep between the temple porch and the altar. Let them say, "Spare your people, O Lord. Do not make your inheritance an object of scorn, a byword among the nations. Why should they say among the peoples, 'Where is thy God?'"
My reading today is 2 Corinthians 5:20b through 6:10. In your pew Bible, that's 1178-1179. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on God's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain, for he says, "In the time of my favor I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you." I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. We put no stumbling block in anyone's path so that our ministry will not be discredited. Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in troubles, hardships, and distresses, in beatings, imprisonments, and riots, in hard work, sleepless nights, and hunger, in purity, understanding, patience, and kindness, in the Holy Spirit and in sincere love, in truthful speech and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left, through glory and dishonor, bad report and good report, genuine yet regarded as impostors, known yet regarded as unknown, dying and yet we live on, beaten and yet not killed, sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, poor, yet making many rich, having nothing and yet possessing everything.
The reading from Matthew 6, beginning on page 986. Be careful, do not do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received the reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men that they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Here ends the reading of the word.
Each of us are here at this place, at this time, to begin our own personal Lenten journey. We have heard readings from the prophet Joel, from the epistles, and from the gospel. And those of us that were here Sunday helped to make the ashes that we will use in just a minute by offering up on a card a block, a sin, or something that we wanted to move out of our way so that we could prepare our hearts and ourselves for this journey. The readings began with Joel voicing God's plea, "Yet even now, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping, with mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments." A Jewish tradition in mourning was to rend or to tear in half their clothing, which symbolized to other people that they were in mourning. In this plea, God is saying, don't tear your clothes. Rip your heart. Open it up. There's an important solemn aspect to Lent, that intentional, focused introspection as we examine our own lives and our own heart, our own sins, our own faithfulness to God, as well as our unfaithfulness. It calls us to a different journey to Easter than the stores call us to. If you walk into a store, as soon as they take the Valentines down, they put up the Easter baskets and the colorful eggs and all the flowers, and we will get to Easter, and it will be glorious. But it will be more glorious because we have walked through Lent. We have been purposeful about being mindful of the very sins that Christ rose to save us from. We will also then hear the last words of what Ed read in Joel, that return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Lent calls for introspection as well as action, because if we are looking inward at our heart, we also have to look outward, and our eyes will be different. Lent invites us to pay attention to the world that we are living in and the people and the environment that share it with us. Lent invites us with broken, open hearts to see the hungry, the lonely, the homeless, the unchurched, the less kind. And we are called on not just to see them, but to act with kindness and love toward them. Our scriptures today remind us that this balance of both introspection and action is what's important as we go through this Lent journey. It draws us closer to Christ. And then with rended or broken open hearts, we get a better view of those treasures that are occupying our time and our minds and our space. And we could perhaps during Lent realign our heart's treasures so that when we can see the truth to where our treasure is, there is our heart also. In a few minutes, we will have the imposition of ashes. Each of you will be invited to come forward and have the sign of the cross made of ashes on your forehead. These are the very ashes that we stood outside Sunday and watched burn. As each person comes, I will say a simple sentence. Remember, you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Now, the purpose of Ash Wednesday is not to depress you. It's not to make you so sad that you can't live. The purpose of Ash Wednesday is to remind us that we are mortal, that God has placed us in this life for a season, and Lent helps us live our season the best that we can possibly live. Remembering that we are from dust and one day we'll return helps us know that the life we have is a gift from God, that we are a gift to others, and that also God's gift through Jesus Christ calls us to walk in Christ's journey. Lent invites us to live the next 40 days with intentional discipline as we follow Christ to the cross and beyond. I'm going to pray over the ashes. Almighty God, you have created us out of the dust of the earth. May these ashes be to us a sign of our mortality and our penitence, so that we may remember that not only by your gracious gift are we given everlasting life through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. I'm going to ask Natalie to come first, and then that way she can play. Again, this is all voluntary. If you don't want to come, just sit in prayer while we do this. Natalie, remember you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Y'all may come forward as you feel led. Judy, remember you are dust, and to dust you shall return.
Thank you.
Susan, remember you are dust, and to dust you shall return. You shall return.
Robert,
remember you are dust, and to dust you shall return.
Thank you.
Francis, remember you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Paula, remember you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Maria, remember you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Remember you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Pat, remember you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Okay. Don, remember you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Now, if you'll join me in our prayer of confession and penitence, and it'll be a litany, and at the end of each litany, if you will say with me, hear our prayers, O God. We come with ashes on our heads, not in fear, but in hope, committed to the Lenten journey that reminds us that we are called to take up the cross of Christ, living in this world. Hear us as we pray, that as disciples of Christ, we may start using our hands, feet, money, time, and energy for the good of the poor. Let us pray to the God of mercy. Hear our prayer, O God. that citizens everywhere may realize that care for their neighbor consists of more than mere giving of money. Let us pray to the God of mercy. Hear our prayer, O God. For the needy, that they may not have to remain despondent and alone, let us pray to the God of mercy. Hear our prayer, O God. For all of us here, that we may be honest enough to admit what we are selfish about and what we can do to remedy our lack of love, let us pray to the God of mercy. Hear our prayer, O God. For those who share Christ's charity towards sinners, let us pray to the God of mercy. Hear our prayer, O God. Merciful God, the ashes are our pledge to take up the cross of life. We came from the earth and we will go back to it. In the meantime, beginning these 40 days, be with us as we try to live here and make it a better home for everyone. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Now hear the good news of Christ's reconciling love toward us, and believe that through Christ, God chose to reconcile the whole universe, making peace through the shedding of Christ's blood upon the cross, and to reconcile all things, whether on earth or in heaven, through Christ alone. Will you stand if you're able and join in the closing hymn, hymn number 572, Take Time to Be Holy. And then remain standing for the benediction. Now join in unison as we all say the benediction. Holy God, through the discipline of these 40 days, make your Spirit's cleansing fire burn within us. Lift us from the dying embers of our inattention. Mark us with the sign of your holy passion. Make us ready to respond to the call of Jesus Christ. Amen.